Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, September 28th, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3, and we are in the paragraph on glory, comparing the glory of the Mosaic Law in the age of Israel, which was a fading glory, with the glory of the Spirit of God in the church age, which is an increasing, overflowing, superabounding, permanent glory. It's a great paragraph. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, that all that we have and all that we are is by your amazing grace. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, early this morning it was still dark, and I got up while it was dark by the side of the bed, and all of a sudden this flash of light came in through the windows, and it was blinding glory. And then 1 second later, Debbie had been asleep. She woke up and said, "What was that? Was that a plane? Did it crash into our house?" I said, "No, I just farted. That's all." But I thought that was a good intro to this class tonight. On glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's start at verse 5 with the corrected translation. Absolutely not that we are competent or qualified from the ultimate source of ourselves to think that anything we teach comes as a result of ourselves or because of who and what we are. But our capability and competence comes from God, from the grace and power of God, who, God the Father, has qualified, empowered, authorized us as ministers of a new covenant absolutely not of the letter, the Mosaic law, but of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death, the Mosaic law, in letters engraved on stones, were with glory, they came with a glory, with the result that the sons of Israel were not able to look intently at the face of Moses, which glory was a fading glory. Most certainly, the ministry of the Spirit in the church age will be with even more glory, greater glory, even more glorious. For if the ministry that produces condemnation, the Mosaic law, has a glory, first-class condition, and it does, much more, to a much greater degree, the ministry that produces righteousness overflows and is extremely rich in the sphere of glory. Verse 9, for if the ministry of condemnation has a glory, referring to the Mosaic law and it's a first-class condition, and it does. The word condemnation is katakrisis. Looks like that in the Greek, K-A-T-A-K-R-I-S-I-S. Katakrisis. Now, this is a very rare word. It's only used two times in the New Testament scriptures, both times by Paul and both times in 2 Corinthians. And it comes from the verb katakrino, which means to condemn. And katakrisis is used specifically of Codex number 1 of the Mosaic Law, the commandments or the Decalogue. It is the Codex number 1 that condemns the human race. The commandments demonstrate that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the righteousness of God, Romans 3:23, and also in Romans 3:19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world held accountable to God, and therefore no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law through the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. We realize that we are sinners, and we realize that we need a Savior. So the ministry of condemnation refers specifically to Codex number 1 of the Mosaic Law. When any member of the human race fails to fulfill even one commandment of the law, he's guilty of all, James 2:10. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point, he has become guilty of all. For if the ministry of condemnation, the Mosaic law, has a glory, first-class condition, and it does. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and therefore God has a glory. And God has a glory because of who and what he is. God has a glory because of his very essence, because he is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. The Mosaic law is the expression of the righteousness and justice of God, and therefore the Mosaic law also has a glory. There's nothing wrong with the Mosaic law. There is something wrong with the entire human race who cannot fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. We are all under condemnation as sinners who need a Savior. Condemnation precedes justification. The Lord Jesus Christ in his true humanity is the only person who fulfilled the righteous requirements of the Mosaic Law. For if the ministry of condemnation has a glory, first-class condition, and it does, much more, to a much greater degree, the ministry that produces righteousness overflows and is extremely rich in the sphere of glory. The ministry of righteousness, well, it's the righteousness that first of all is bestowed by God. Common and efficacious grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit leads men to faith in Jesus Christ and the imputation of the righteousness of God to them. Romans 3:21-22. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, the works of the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures testify, and this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. The filling of the Holy Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit leads the believer from that point of salvation and the imputation of the righteousness of God to them at salvation, all the way to spiritual maturity, grace righteousness, and glorifying God to the maximum. The ministry of righteousness is emphasizing the church age as the much more dispensation, in contrast to the age of Israel. The ministry of righteousness is emphasizing the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the church age as much more than the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the age of Israel. The universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit to live the unique spiritual life is much more than the endowment of the Spirit to a very few believers in the Old Testament. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer and the filling of the Spirit empowers the church age believer to fulfill the righteous requirements of the Mosaic Law. The church age believer can fulfill the righteous requirements of the law by living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills. And in verse 9, a very, very key word, periselo. That's P-E-R-I-S-S-E-U, long O, periselo. It's a transitive verb. It simply means to cause to abound, to make extremely rich. But as an intransitive verb, which is how it's used in our verse, it means to be more than enough, to be present in abundance, to be extremely rich, to overflow. In the church age, the believer is extremely rich because of the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to live the unique spiritual life. Extremely rich in glory because of the Spirit of God. The church age believer, because of the Spirit of God in the church age, has an overabundance of glory. This overabundance of glory never occurred before in human history. Only today, in the dispensation of the church age, the glory of the Mosaic Law and the age of Israel was a fading glory. The glory of the unique spiritual life and the church age is an overflowing, ever-increasing glory. The present tense is a nomic present, introducing a timeless axiom of Scripture, and the axiom is this: the glory of the unique spiritual life of the church age is an overflowing, increasing, extremely rich glory. The active voice, the glory of the unique spiritual life of the church age, performs the action of overflowing, increasing, and being extremely rich. The indicative mood, declarative, this is a dogmatic principle of the Word of God and mystery doctrines of the church age. Doxa, in the dative case, is the dative of sphere, in the sphere of glory. For if the ministry that produces condemnation, the Mosaic law, has a glory, first-class condition, and it does, much more, to a much greater degree, the ministry that produces righteousness overflows and is extremely rich in the sphere of glory. The age of Israel was the dispensation of the ritual plan of God, as revealed in the Mosaic Law. Codex number 2 of the Mosaic Law presented Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, in shadow form, Christology and soteriology, through ritual. The dispensation of the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ presents the reality of those shadows. Operation Grace, the salvation work of Christ on the cross. In the dispensation of Israel, God the Holy Spirit had a very limited ministry, and to only a very few believers. A very few believers had the endowment of the Holy Spirit, empowering them for a very specific task. And after that task was over, it was often removed, they could lose that endowment of the Spirit. However, in the church age, the dispensation of grace, we have the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Every single church age believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, providing a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Every church age believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit and can be, ought to be, if you're making good decisions, to be filled with the Spirit, enabling him to live the unique spiritual life of the church age and glorify God to the maximum. All right, now I want you to see this in a passage of Scripture. I want you to turn to John, the Gospel of John, not the Epistle, the Gospel of John, John chapter 14. John 14. And we're going to have a contrast here between the ministry of the Spirit of God in the age of Israel and the ministry of the Spirit of God in the church age. And the contrast is going to be in prepositions. Two different prepositions. All right, John 14, let's start at verse 15. If you love me, this is an occupation with Christ. Of course, this is in the church age, this is the result of having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. By the way, notice that this is in the Gospel of John. And he was there. And the Apostle John totally got what the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching. And that's why what he says here, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Where have we studied that in the Epistle of John? 1 John 2:5. He says the exact same thing. If you love me, occupation with Christ, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another paraclete, parakletos, a helper. Who is that? God the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus is living in the age of Israel. The church age doesn't begin until after his resurrection, ascension, session, seated at the right hand of the Father, and 10 days after that at Pentecost. So this, when he's living, it's not the church age, it's the age of Israel. And I will ask the Father, and he will, future, when the church age begins at Pentecost, he will in the future give you another helper, God the Holy Spirit, the universal indwelling of the Spirit, to live the unique spiritual life, that he may be with you forever. The indwelling of God the Holy Spirit is permanent. We are indwelt by the Spirit at the moment of salvation. We will always be indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. It is permanent forever. Verse 17. That is, now he tells us who the helper is. That is the Spirit of truth, which you could translate that the Spirit of doctrine. The universal indwelling of the Spirit of God as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. Spiritual skill number one of the spiritual life. And spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, so that you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is the Spirit of doctrine, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because, now we have two different prepositional phrases, because he abides parahumin. Right now he abides parahumin, but he will in the future be enhumin. Right now he's parahumin. He will be enhumin. All right, now if you want to get down and do some push-ups, go ahead. This is good stuff. But you know what? If all I did was study from the English text, I wouldn't have a clue. And most pastors don't have a clue. And they don't study from the original autographs. Even those that have gone to seminary and have had a few years of languages, they just put it all away and they don't use it. It's sad. And it contributes to the apostasy of our nation. But here we have, but you know him because he parahumins you now, and he will be enhumin in the future. All right, verse 17. That phrase, he abides in the, even in my translation here, they translated, he abides with you. That's not what the preposition para means. We have the causal conjunction ha ti plus the present active indicative of meno plus the prepositional phrase para, para plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su. Ha ti is a causal conjunction. Because. And then we have the verb meno, and of course John likes this verb meno, to remain, to abide, to continue. We know that in our First John. But to remain, to abide, continue, what? Parahumin. See, we, in First John, he uses this word from the standpoint of the fact of the enhumin in the church age, the Holy Spirit indwells us, is in us, so that we can be filled with the Spirit and enjoy the teaching ministry of the Spirit, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, live the spiritual life, glorify God to the maximum. So in the first epistle of John, you have mano, but it's always emphasizing living the spiritual life. Well, it's not the church age. They're not living the spiritual life. They don't have the spiritual life. Because what Jesus is teaching here, this is a Jesus Christ holding Bible class, it's not the church age. And so meno means is used in a different way. Here it's used with the preposition para. Very important. P-A-R-A. Para. He abides, remains, continues. Parahumin. All right, one. The preposition para plus the dative means by the side of. By the side of. Beside you. Near you. Not in you. The Holy Spirit wasn't in any of them except Jesus Christ. The only one that the Holy Spirit was in was Jesus Christ. He was the first one who was indwelt and filled with the Spirit from the time of his birth, that he was the only one, and then he passed that on to all of us, royal family of God in the church age. But all of those people standing there at this time, the Holy Spirit isn't in any of them. He's beside them. He's by the side of them. He's near them. So para plus the dative, this is point one, para plus the dative means beside the, by the side of, beside, near. So as Jesus Christ is teaching, it's not the church age. It's the age of Israel. Church age is not going to begin till Pentecost. After his ascension and session at the right hand of the Father, and 10 days after that. Pentecost is 50. After the resurrection of Christ, he was here 40 days on the earth, then ascended and was seated for 10 more days. 40 plus 10 is 50. Pentecost. That's when the church age began. Two. Para plus the dative describes the endowment ministry of God the Holy Spirit prior to the church age. Para plus the dative describes the endowment ministry of God the Holy Spirit prior to the church age. The Gospel of John, Jesus Christ is still on the earth. He's here at the first advent. He's teaching, so he hasn't gone to the cross. There's been no death, burial, resurrection. That hasn't taken place. He is teaching prior to Operation Grace the Cross. It's the age of Israel. And so he's telling what's going on with them right now. Right now, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of doctrine, the Spirit of truth is parahumin, beside you, near you. So para plus the dative describes the endowment ministry of God the Holy Spirit prior to the church age. Three, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching these believers living in the age of Israel that the Holy Spirit is beside you. He's beside you right now. And that is the endowment of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching these believers in John 14, verse 17, living in the age of Israel, that the Holy Spirit is parahumin, beside you. Right now, he's beside you. The endowment of the Holy Spirit. But he will be in you in the future. This is the future active indicative of Amy plus the prepositional phrase. Now we have en humin. We now gone from parhumin, age of Israel, endowment of the Spirit, to enhumin, in the future, in the church age, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer. So now we have the future active indicative of eimi plus the prepositional phrase enhumin. He will be in the future in you, universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So, one, the future tense is the predictive future. Predictive future. The predictive future makes a simple statement that something will come to pass in the future. Not now. Now is the age of Israel. It'll come to pass in the future when the church age begins. That's Pentecost. But we still have, when the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching, we still have Operation Grace, the cross, his death, burial, resurrection, 40 days after his resurrection, his ascension and session, 10 days after that, Pentecost and beginning of the church age. So the future tense is the predictive future. The predictive future makes a simple statement that something will come to pass in the future. Two, the Lord Jesus Christ is prophesying. This is a prophecy. He is prophesying the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every believer in the future when the church age begins. Pentecost. So the Lord Jesus Christ is prophesying the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every believer in the future when the church age begins. Three, the church age began 10 days after the ascension and session of the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father. And that is Pentecost. The church age began 10 days after the ascension and session of the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father on Pentecost. That's the beginning of the church age. When is the end of the church age? Right, rapture. When the rapture occurs. When the rapture occurs, that's the end of the church age. What comes on after that? Tribulation. Yes, very good. 7 years, tribulation. And what's the last half, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation? The great tribulation. And what's at the end of that? Second advent. Jesus Christ comes back to earth. And what about that? We come back with him. We come back with him at the second advent. Every unbeliever on the face of the earth is wiped out. They're gone. The few believers that survive the tribulation go into the millennial kingdom along with, we will be there as well. We will be there. We will be there. We are there as his bride. A 1,000-year wedding celebration. Jesus Christ and the bride. And you're the bride! I don't take it too seriously. Some of the guys are going, I don't know if I want to be a bride. You're the bride. We're all the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will go for 1,000 years. Millennial kingdom. The active voice, God the Holy Spirit, performs the action of indwelling every church age believer. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic, absolute truth of the Word of God. Four. Point four. So the Lord Jesus Christ says, right now, God the Holy Spirit is parahumin. He's beside you right now. That is the endowment ministry of the Holy Spirit in the age of Israel. So the Lord Jesus Christ says in John 14, verse 17, right now, God the Holy Spirit is parahumin. He's beside you. He's near you. And that's the endowment ministry of the Holy Spirit in the age of Israel. 5. But He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of doctrine, He will be enhumen. He will be in you, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer. But He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of doctrine, He will be enhumen in you, universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer. 6. The universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit to live the unique spiritual life is much more glory, much more glory than the endowment of the Spirit to a very few believers in the Old Testament. The universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit to live the unique spiritual life is a much more glory than the endowment of the Spirit to a few believers in the Old Testament. 7. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer and the filling of the Spirit empowers the church age believer to fulfill the righteous requirements of the Mosaic Law. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer and filling of the Spirit empowers the church age believer to fulfill the righteous requirements of the Mosaic Law. And after giving you that point, I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's go ahead and start at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. En Christo Jesu. And that, what is that? That is positional truth, union with Christ. How do you, what is that the result of? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you by the nape of the neck and puts you into union with Christ. Positionally. We're all positionally in union with Christ. And in union with Christ, there is no condemnation. That means you have eternal security. Here's a great eternal security verse. There is therefore now no condemnation. For whom? For those who are in Christ Jesus. Who are the ones in Christ Jesus? Every single person who places their faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit baptizes them, enters them into union with Jesus Christ, and you're in union with Christ. You're in union with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever and ever. And since He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, His battlefield royalty, you are royal family of God. Old Testament, family of God. There was no baptism of the Spirit entering them into union with Christ. None. They were family of God through regeneration. You place your faith in Christ, you're entered into union with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, battlefield royalty. You are royal family of God. Spiritual aristocracy. And to whom much is given, and much has been given to us, much is required. You are spiritual aristocracy. There is therefore now no condemnation, eternal security for those who are in Christ Jesus. Every person at the moment of faith in Christ in the church age is in Christ Jesus, union with Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death, the Mosaic law. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. In order, verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of God, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, by the power of the Spirit of God. Keep on being filled, empowered by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Walk by means of the Spirit. Live the spiritual life by the power. It has to be. It's a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. You can't live it by your own abilities or talents. Human energy of the flesh. Impossible. It can only be lived by the power of God. The grace and power of God. According to the Spirit. So I want you to see this. Verse 4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. In us, believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, who do not walk, who are not living according to the flesh, the human energy of the flesh, but living according to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. So, one, the church age believer can fulfill the righteous requirements of the Mosaic law by living the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Romans 8:4. The church age believer can fulfill the righteous requirements of the Mosaic law by living the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Two, this is the much more ministry of righteousness of the church age. This is the much more ministry of righteousness of the church age. Three, the ministry of righteousness of the church age has a far, far greater glory than the ministry of condemnation of the Mosaic law. The ministry of righteousness of the church age has a far, far greater glory than the ministry of condemnation of the Mosaic law. Four, the glory of the Mosaic law compared with the glory of the unique spiritual life of the church age, the glory of the Mosaic law is a match. While the glory of the unique spiritual life of the church age is a blazing sun. The glory of the Mosaic law is a match, while the glory of the unique spiritual life of the church age is a blazing sun. So, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6 again says, who, God the Father, has qualified, empowered, authorized us as ministers of a new covenant, absolutely not of the letter, the Mosaic law, but of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death, the Mosaic law, and letters engraved on stones were with glory, it came with a glory, with the result that the sons of Israel were not able to look intently at the face of Moses, which glory was fading away, a fading glory, most certainly the ministry of the Spirit in the church age will be with even more glory, greater glory, even more glorious. For if the ministry that produces condemnation, the Mosaic law, has a glory, first-class condition, and it does, much more, to a much greater degree, the ministry that produces righteousness overflows and is extremely rich in the sphere of glory. All right. Verse 10. For even that which was made glorious, this is the post-positive conjunction gar plus chi plus the articular perfect passive participle of doxazo. Now, Dana and Manti, one of my books that I use all the time when I'm studying the New Testament scriptures, Arnton Gingrich, yes, I'm always in Arnton Gingrich, but Kittle, yeah, I'm in the Kittle Theological Dictionary, that. But Dana and Manti, Emmanuel Grammar of the Greek New Testament, page 251, says that when you have chi gar, now you know chi, the conjunction chi, gar, post-positive conjunction, chi, K-A-I, gar, G-A-R. When you have this together, chi, gar, this is brought over from classical Greek. Now you can always go from classical Greek to Koine Greek. You can never go from Koine Greek to classical Greek. And so if you're in college, you think you have the gift of a pastor teacher, and they might not offer biblical Greek, Koine Greek, but they might offer classical Greek. Well, take it. Take it. That's great. Take that classical Greek. You can always go from classical Greek to Koine Greek. And there are many instances where there is, in the Koine, especially when you have geniuses like the Apostle Paul, he uses things from classical Greek all the time. And this is one of those times. Dana and Matty, page 251 on Emmanuel Grammar of the Greek New Testament, says that chi gar has long been considered emphatic, and it comes from classical Greek, and it's correctly translated, for indeed, and that's how we'll translate. You can also translate it for in fact, or for certainly, and we will translate it for indeed. And then we have doxazo. That's how it looks in the Greek, D-O-K-S-A-Z, long O, doxazo. Couple of things. One, doxazo, first of all, means to praise, to honor, to magnify. It first of all means to praise, to honor, to magnify. Two, doxazo also means to clothe in splendor. To clothe in splendor or to glorify. Three, it is from this verb doxazo that we get the noun doxa, glory. The perfect tense is the intensive perfect. Emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action or on a present state or condition of a past action. Four, the intensive perfect says that the Mosaic law will always have a glory. The intensive perfect says that the Mosaic law will always have a glory. The passive voice, the Mosaic law receives glory. Five, God is glory in his very essence. And therefore the Word of God receives glory because it is from the perfect essence of God. God is glory in his very essence, and therefore the Word of God receives glory because it is from the perfect essence of God. The articular participle is substantival, that is, it functions as a noun, and it refers to the Mosaic law. So the corrected translation is, for indeed, kaigar, for indeed, that which received glory, the Mosaic law. For indeed, that which received glory, the Mosaic law, had no glory in this respect. That's the King James, and it's a very horrible translation. This is the perfect passive indicative of doxazo with the objective negative oo, plus the prepositional phrase en, plus the dative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtos, with the dative singular meros, with a definite article. Now, Arnton Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, page 507. And I'm going to give this to you just exactly as it's in the Greek text. En tuto to mere. And this is the dative, these are all in the dative case. Tutos, that's from the demonstrative pronoun houtos. The neuter dative, T-O-U-T, long O. And this is the definite article in the dative, ta. And this is meros in the dative, mere. Oops, M-E-R-E-I. En tuta ta mere. That's exactly what is in the Greek text. And Arnton Gingrich, page 507, which is exactly what we have, says that this phrase means, in this case, in this matter, in this case or in this matter. In other words, point one, in this case, or in this matter, is setting up a comparison of the glory of the Mosaic law with the glory of the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer. So this phrase, en tuto to mere, in this case, in this matter, is setting up a comparison between the glory of the Mosaic law with the glory of the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer. Two, there is no comparison. The difference is so great that in effect, the Mosaic law has almost no glory at all. That's what it's establishing. There is no comparison. The difference is so great that in effect, the glory of the Mosaic law is almost like it has no glory at all. Three, The Mosaic Law is the basis of man's condemnation. Codex number one, the commandments. The Mosaic Law is the basis of man's condemnation. Codex number one, the commandments. Four, there is no salvation by keeping the works of the Mosaic Law. There is no salvation by keeping the works of the Mosaic Law. Five, salvation by works is a false gospel. And the temporary ruler of this world, Satan himself, this is what he promotes all over planet Earth. Salvation by works. Six, the age of Israel had the fading glory of the Mosaic Law. The age of Israel had the fading glory of the Mosaic Law. Seven, the church age has the exceeding, far, far greater glory of the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Spirit to live the unique spiritual life. The church age has the exceeding, far greater glory of the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Spirit to live the unique spiritual life. And the objective negative ooh slams the door. Ooh doxazo has, in comparison, has no glory. For corrected translation, for indeed that which received glory, the Mosaic Law, has no glory in comparison with this matter, by reason of the glory that excelleth, says the King James. And this is the prepositional phrase Hanukkah plus the articular present active participle of huperbalo plus the genitive singular of doxa. The preposition Hanukkah, some of you think it's Heineken and you're getting thirsty. H-E-I-N-E-K-E-N. Hanukkah. Hanukkah means on account of, and then the super great verb huperbalo. H-U-P-E-R. B-A-L-L long O. Huperbalo. One, huperbalo means to go beyond, to surpass. To go beyond, to surpass, to outdo. Two, Arnton Gingrich, page 848, says that the participle, which is what we have, should be translated surpassing. Surpassing glory. Extraordinary. Outstanding. The present tense has linear action, sorry. The glory of the Spirit of God in the church age keeps on being a surpassing glory. Linear action, sorry. The glory of the Spirit of God in the church age keeps on being a surpassing glory. The active voice, the glory of the Spirit of God in the church age performs the action of being a surpassing glory. The participle is adjectival, modifying the noun doxa, glory. Isn't this great? That's what's so great about Greek participle. Nothing like the Greek participle. It can be an adjective, it can be a noun, it can be a verb. Isn't that awesome? I mean, yeah, you almost lose it on that. So the corrected translation, for indeed that which received glory, the Mosaic law, in comparison, has no glory with this matter on account of the surpassing glory of the Spirit of God in the church age. Well, this is a great paragraph, and he just keeps building it. But I don't want you to explode while you're sitting here. Well, come back, we'll take it again next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our life. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.